Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Adani Wilmar Q2 FY23 conference call hosted by Axis Capital Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Gaurav Jogani from Axis Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Inba. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining the call today. At Axis Capital, it is our absolute pleasure to host the senior management of Adani Wilmar for the Q2 FY23 earnings call. We have with us today Mr. Angshu Mallick, Chief Executive Officer and Managing Director, and Mr. Shrikant Kanhere, Chief Financial Officer. I will now hand over the call to Abhik from the management team. Thank you, and over to you, Abhik.
Thank you, Gaurav. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the conference call of Adani Wilmar Limited. We'll be covering this afternoon the results of September quarter, as well as the half-yearly financials ended 30th September 2022. On the call with me is Mr. Angshu Mallick, MD and CEO, and Mr. Shrikant Kanhere, Chief Financial Officer, Adani Wilmar Limited. We'll start with the presentation, followed by a Q&A. I'll now hand over the call to Mr. Kanhere.
Yeah, thank you, Abhik, and very good afternoon to everyone who has joined this call. Thank you very much. What we intend to do is we'll take you through a very brief presentation which we have circulated already in advance. I would request everyone to go through the slides which I would be speaking. The presentation basically will cover macro context to just speak about the events which has happened in this last quarter. We'll have a business updates, financial results, and of course, the outlook for Q3 and the strategy going forward. The quarter which has gone by was a very unusual quarter for, not for Adani Wilmar, but I think for most of the food FMCGs rather, I would say. This is the quarter in which you have seen everything which may happen to a business, from inflation to sharp price drop to geopolitical events. Inflation, I think, is something which has been debated across the globe and is something which is in mind of every central bank today. In spite of all efforts by all the central bank, including RBI, the inflation remains elevated in India as well. Well above RBI tolerance level of 6%. We have seen series of rate hikes, not only from the Fed, the European, but also from Indian Central Bank. We do expect another rate hike something coming up today evening when the meet happens. The monsoon also played a hide and seek as far as the Indian economy is concerned. To start with, it was a normal monsoon, then it turned out to be an excess monsoon. Then finally it came out that there are certain states where the monsoon was deficient. Then finally, these states also received the monsoon, and at the end of the day, it was a delayed withdrawal of the monsoon also, which has to some extent impacted the paddy growing areas of India, and it is possible that it may have some kind of impact on the production of the rice. Policy rates across the globe continued to rise. With yesterday's Fed hike, we have another Fed hike of 75 basis points. RBI has already taken a rate hike of good 190 basis points since May. So we have rate hikes which are basically resulting into a higher interest cost, higher finance cost across all the businesses, which will also have some kind of impact on the business performance. Besides this, the currency remained under pressure, US dollar consolidating against most of the currencies across the globe. Rupee depreciated more than 10% as we speak today since January 2022. This also has got an impact on finance cost of the companies who has got a more dollarized raw material or raw material which is more imported. Now these all things were at a one side, and while these were happening, we actually encountered with an unusual sharp decline in commodity prices, particularly edible oil prices, sometime in July and August. The prices fell 50%. The complex, which was at $2,000 a ton at the start of or end of the June, fell almost 50% to $1,000. So palm oil fell from $2,000 to little below $1,000. Soya from as high as $2,000 to $1,100. Sunflower as high as $2,200 to little less than $1,000. So this sharp decline, sharp drop in the prices actually, So these all sharp drop actually impacted the players who have got an inventory in hand, and that is what has happened to us also. We'll talk on this a little bit more as the call goes forward. The ROCP market, the refined oil consumer pack oil market, also degrew for the last 12 months by 4%, which is basically because of the out-of-home consumption going down. While these all events were not so good for the industry, but there are some positive now signs which are emerging, and we hope that these will continue and we have a good quarter 3 and H2. There is a record import in September 22, so which is a sign that demand is picking up. The festive season is already on. We had a very fantastic October month on the back of Diwali, because India celebrated Diwali after almost 2 years. So we saw a very good month from a demand point of view as far as October is concerned. And of course, since now the prices have already softened, we are very hopeful that this demand uptick will continue. The prices are already stabilized as far as the edible oil is concerned, and also some bit of food prices are concerned. So this should continue. So this is a mixed bag as far as the quarter is concerned, but very unusual. Very unusual. At least I have not seen such kind of quarter in my 10 years of experience in Adani Wilmar. So now we continue with the business update. If your presentation is before you, you can go to the slide about the business update. A very strong performance of the food and FMCG, rather I would say, when you look at the quarter two numbers. Edible oil was flattish for the quarter two as well as first half, which is H1. However, food and FMCG grew by 41% and 47% respectively for the quarter and H1, which is a very good sign for us, because food is the priority for the company as we move forward. Industry essential also kept the growth at 23% and 22% for quarter two and H1. We move to the next slide, which talks about the sequential performance of the company on all the three basic segments: edible oil, food and FMCG, and industry essential. So this is something which gives us more optimism when we look at quarter three and H2. Sequentially, edible oil grew 17% quarter over quarter, that is quarter two over quarter one, we grew by 17%, which is also a sign that the demand uptick will continue. Food FMCG grew by 17%, industry essential degrew by 8%, but it is more from one-time business which we did in Q1. So overall, quarter over quarter sequential growth gives us a good optimum picture for next quarter and the next half. As far as the market share is concerned, in spite of such a volatile conditions prevalent during the Q2, we have been successfully able to defend our market share, not only defend, but we have been able to grow the market share. As far as the edible oil is concerned, it grew from 19.2 to 19.5. Wheat flour, our journey of market consolidation continues, little less than 5% now, and we remain number two player of wheat flour in India. Basmati, fortune only grew by 5.1 to 8.5, which is a very good consolidation of market share. Combined with Kohinoor, now our market share is close to 10%. Kohinoor was launched, we acquired Kohinoor in the month of May. We launched it in July and we had a full launch of Kohinoor all brands in the month of August. Our market share now is 10% and we are now a strong number three player in the country after KRBL and LT Foods. As far as our initiatives on D2C side is concerned, we continued our focus on Fortune Mart. Today we have now 37 number of outlets across the India. Three new outlets got added in the month in this quarter. We will continue to grow on this initiative, and we hope that as we go forward, this initiative should start giving us more and profitable business. As far as the Fortune online app is concerned, which is also part of a D2C reach, the key milestone achieved, now we are present in 25 cities where customer can order through a Fortune app and delivery, he gets a delivery in 24 hours time. 3.4 lakh downloads, 6,000 plus average monthly orders. While from a size of a company like us, it looks a very small numbers to talk about, but that's how you start building the initiative to a big idea when you start with a small things. 25 cities today, maybe as we move forward in a year's time, we will have more 25 cities, 50 cities in all. So that's the initiative which is building slowly but steadily. The other initiative which we have been taking and now we are very much aligned in a sense that we understand there is a huge scope for a Fortune as a brand in the international market as well. And that's, keeping that in mind, we have started off clear-cut focus on the international market with GCC, USA, Canada, Singapore as main markets to address. We have a benefit of Wilmar distribution advantage in Africa, Europe, Australia, and New Zealand, and we hope that we will be able to leverage this when we take this up. The product portfolio that we want to take it to the next, to the international market, of course, besides edible oil, wheat flour and rice. So we would continue to give update on this particular initiative as we move from one quarter to another quarter. There are various targeted ad campaigns which we did in last quarter. I will not spend much time on this because it is already there in the presentation, and I request who have joined this call to have a look at these campaigns. Little bit update on the IPO capex. While all the IPO capex are going as per the timeline, there's one capex which is ready to be delivered sometime in quarter three, is our wheat flour unit at Bundi, Rajasthan, and we are very sure that this would add another best-in-class manufacturing facility in the fold of Adani Wilmar, and we should be able to deliver quality product from this factory as well. Now coming to the financial result and very important aspect of this call, I want to request all the participants to look at the slide having a headline financial result. So let's look at, let's understand the numbers starting with quarter two and H1. So if the numbers are before you, let's concentrate on a column year on year for the quarterly numbers. So if you look at the volumes, overall volumes grew by 9%. Having said that, if everything would have been business as usual, our gross margins should have also grown by 9%. However, we degrew the gross margin by 1%. So we have a flattish gross margin, absolute gross margin. Let me emphasize this. Ideally, this should have grown by 9% because that is what we have been able to deliver year after year and quarter after quarter. So therefore, if business would have been as usual and our per ton EBITDA margins or gross margins per ton would have been same, we should have been able to deliver the gross margin in line with the volume growth of 9%. So there is a delta of 10%. So against volume growth of 9%, our margins are flattish or minus 1%. So delta of 10%, this is something which I want to dwell a little more. This is because of the high cost inventory which we had when the sharp price drop happened in the month of July and August. Now, whenever such sharp decline happens, you will always find that companies would be left with some kind of inventory in the hand, and which usually always will have, because you will always have an inventory given the fact that you are the largest edible oil player of the country. You import more than 25% of country's edible oil. So this inventory, high cost inventory, you have no option but to pass on the price drop to the consumer in a bid to protect your market share. And that is evident also that our market share actually consolidated and grown. So in bid to protect the market share, we had no option but to pass on these price drop to the consumer. It's a very unusual and one-time event which we have witnessed in last maybe a decade or so. Now, this has impacted gross margins by 10%, which is close to 150 crores, if I have to quantify it. Now, this 150 crore of gross margin impact is actually less than 10% of our full year EBITDA, and we feel that, and we are quite confident this is only a one-time impact which has happened on the P&L, and therefore as we move forward we should be able to recover this. Now, and if you look at from the price drop which market has seen, the market saw a price drop of good 50%, but we were able to restrict the EBITDA to the gross margin drop to the extent of only 10%. So that is thanks to our risk management policy or a hedging policy, that to some extent, since we were hedged, the impact of 50% drop in a prices didn't actually hit us badly. We were able to contain it to a good level. Post gross margin, so whatever drop we saw at a gross margin level is there visible at the PAT level also and EBITDA level also. And we are of opinion that this is only a one-time hit. Our brand equity, and that's where the whole concept of a brand equity also comes in, that whenever such kind of event happens, is your brand being able to sustain such kind of impacts. I think we have been able to demonstrate that in this quarterly result. While the results are down as compared to last year, but the size of price drop which industry has seen, we have been able to safeguard our P&L to some extent. When we look at H1, therefore, since our quarter one was exceptionally good, We actually had grown year-on-year both on top line, gross margin, and EBITDA in quarter one. And therefore, to some extent, the underperformance in the quarter two is been compensated by quarter one. And therefore, when you look at the H1 number, the volumes grew by 12% and our gross margin also grew by 13%. So to that extent, the H1 profitability up to gross margin levels was protected. However, when you go below the gross margin, the inflationary impact continued, and the inflationary impact of the quarter two, which we could not able to recover, was evident on the bottom line. And therefore, against 12% of revenue, 16% of the revenue growth, the PAT fell by 32%. When we look at the segment revenues, I think here in this slide, I would more highlight on the food, because I think we have talked much about edible oil in the earlier slides. Let's try and talk more on the food aspect of the business. We are happy that food is much ahead of delivering the EBITDA positive numbers. Our earlier expectation was that it should be an EBITDA neutral by somewhere around FY24, but I think we are last quarter consistently we have been able to get EBITDA positive numbers. The revenue is also growing very strong, 58% growth in revenue as far as the quarter is concerned and 61% on the H1 and the EBITDA positive. So this is a good sign and we are banking on food business as we move forward in quarter three and H2. So going forward, our strategy would certainly remain a food business. Our strategy would certainly remain to ensure that we keep growing at high single digit on edible oil, even if the market is degrowing, to keep consolidating the edible oil market share, and wherever possible, get some premiumization on the strong markets of edible oil so that sustainable cash flow keeps getting generated through edible oil business, and basis that we keep nourishing our food business, which is growing at a 40-45% plus year on year. And we are committed to do both organic and inorganic growth as far as the food basket is concerned. So this is all from my side. And now I hand over the call to the moderator to open the lines for question and answer. Myself and Mr. Malik is here to answer questions that may come up from the participants.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who has a question may enter star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Abneesh Roy from Nuvama Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, sir. My question was on the margins. How do you see the outlook given there are two, three things happening here? So one is, of course, the government has also cut the import, has increased the import duty. So there could be some gains for your current inventory. Second is, you mentioned that there is a rupee depreciation which is also impacting. Now in Q3 also, rupee depreciation continues to be a concern. Apart from this, regional players come back in any FMCG whenever sharp deflation happens. So, and that is not something which will go away because that is something which will continue at least for the next 3 quarters till the base effect happens. If I take all this into consideration, when do you see 3% kind of EBITDA margin coming back for you?
Yeah, Abneesh, as far as the quarter 3 and H2 is concerned, I think we are very, very optimistic. We are optimistic given two basic fundamentals. One, of course, is demand has come back. So that's not an issue now. So you have enough of demand in the market, both in consumer pack as well as bulk pack. And the other thing which has happened is now that since the prices have more or less stabilized, unless some very unusual geopolitical event happens and again you have something in store as far as the price speculation is concerned, but I think prices are more or less stabilized now. And therefore, the margins should settle in as far as the quarter three and quarter four is concerned. This one-time impact, which I spelled, which is around 150 crore on our gross margins, I think it's only a one-time, and we are very, very hopeful that we should be able to recover this in the quarter three and quarter four. I would not comment on the percentage term EBITDA, but if these prices level continue, I think 3.5% EBITDA is not going to be a challenge.
Right. So one or two follow-ups there. So when we speak to the other premium edible oil player, they see not a metric in terms of percentage EBITDA. They see EBITDA on a per liter basis because that's the right metric. Because if the prices crash by half, if you still go as per the percentage EBITDA, your EBITDA absolute basis will become half. So in your case also, should that apply? And in that case, 3.5% seems to be a low number. I'm not saying Q3. Q3, I understand still rupee depreciation and all those issues are there. But structurally, I'm saying, say, in Q4, when stability will be there and say rupee is not an issue, won't your EBITDA margin go up even more than the 3.5%? Because you would also look at profits on a per liter basis rather than the margin, gross margin or EBITDA margin to start with.
You are absolutely right, Abneesh, and your analysis is absolutely correct. So if you look at our numbers of FY 2020, FY21 and FY22, our EBITDA margins used to be in the range of 4.5% to 5% when the price levels were in the range of $1,000 and $800, which is right now today. So having said that, yes, 3.5, as I said, is not going to be a challenge. However, the prices level continued to be the same what we have today. Yes, there is a possibility that we may actually hit more than 4% of EBITDA margins. And right, we also look at EBITDA margins per kg and per ton instead of looking it as a percentage of a revenue.
Right. My second follow-up question here is, you have seen 17% quarter-on-quarter volume growth in edible oil. So wanted to understand that seasonality. Is it because of the earlier Pujo this time? Or was there any market share gain? I understand the Nielsen market share gain, but let us ignore that. The 17% QOQ number, is it norm? Is it there every year, this kind of a variance?
Growth in volume?
Yeah, volume.
Abneesh,
sequential growth in volume.
See, this volume growth of 17% that you see, this is of oil that you are talking of, is this year. The high prices in the first quarter actually reduced the rural consumption. The rural demand was very poor in April, May, June. And then July, August, September, the prices started coming down. And the pressure on ourselves to reduce the prices were very high. Two sides. One, we wanted to hold on to our market share. And second, the government was intervening almost every week and asking us how much have you reduced, how much have you reduced, and they were comparing with the international fall and our reduction in MRP. And you have seen that at least 3-4 times we have announced in the newspaper that we have reduced the price. And that reduction in price helped in increasing consumption. Hence, you have seen Q2 grow. Q3, if you ask me how do we look at it personally, October has been fantastic. I am sure other FMCG companies also must have done well, but edible oil has done remarkably well. That is because one, after 2 years, people celebrated Diwali, October being a month where Diwali and Dasera both were coinciding, and market prices came down. So, you know, everything was looking very good. Overall, the things were looking brighter for a consumer point of view, and out of home consumption improved significantly, because you have seen how people have been traveling. Even the airlines reported more than 30% growth. Now, this and going forward, the marriage season, we have a calculation of more than 3 lakh marriages. And that 3 lakh marriages, Fortune is one of the most sought after oil in marriages, particularly UP, Bihar, Madhya Pradesh, Chhattisgarh, Delhi, Rajasthan. So these are the markets where there will be big marriages. And obviously, Adani Wilmar will have advantage. We have basmati rice also. So this year we have rice, we have maida, we have besan and sugar along with oil. So there are 5 products with which we are actually going to the trade and caterers and everybody, and we are offering them. So I think this season will be very good. Marriage starts from 15th of November until 15th of December. There is going to be big marriages around.
Sure. And sir, that's helpful. Last question is on the rice. So 2-3 bits here. So one is your own market share has improved sharply from 5.1 to 8.5%. That's a big jump. So I want to understand, is it because of the GST change which happened on the pre-package, so 5% GST was put? And second is, I see only 1.5% share for Kohinoor, because you have said that 10% is the overall share, 8.5 coming from your own Fortune brand. 1.5% seems quite low. I understand Kohinoor has gone through a lot of changes. Where do you see Kohinoor settling in terms of market share, say 3-4 years, because should it go back to the peak market share when the business was being run smoothly?
I'll first come to Kohinoor. Kohinoor, historically, 2021, the year McCormick was running full year, they did around 35,000 ton all put together. I think to reach that level, I need 1 year. One, that is because Kohinoor is very famous for its bharti season. You know, in Gujarat and in part of Maharashtra, there is called the bharti season, which starts from November. This is a new crop, and new crop continues till November, December, January. In 3 months, they used to be the leader and selling more than 6,000 to 8,000 tons during these 3 months, only in Gujarat. So I think that should bring back Kohinoor glory. So we are getting ready to launch that on November 10th. After that, Kohinoor supply chain was disrupted, as you know. So we started packing. We wanted the same grain and the quality of purity to be at that level. So getting those grain across the country from millers was difficult because we are at the end of the season. So we could manage that. Slowly we have entered the modern format stores. In fact, 50% of Kohinoor business was coming from modern format store and 30% from caterers and hotels. So that hotel part is still there, but modern...
Sorry to interrupt, sir. We are unable to hear you right now.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, now we can.
Okay, sorry. Kohinoor, almost 45-50% sale comes from modern trade, and modern trade was reluctant to start this new category again because they were heavy on the Diwali and the Dussehra demands. So they, in fact, Amazon has started. Now slowly Flipkart is going ahead, then Reliance will go ahead, and by 1 month, most of these chains will have Kohinoor in their outlets or in the chains. So that is important. Hotels, we have to do new deals with them. So everybody wanted to do deal only after Diwali because everybody has completed their Diwali deal in August, September. So we were late for that. So all these things, you know, one by one we are putting it, and I am sure Kohinoor will get back into its original form. When it comes to our 8.5%, how did we go there? You have seen in Dussehra Diwali, we had a big scheme. Fortune oil, 5 kilo every day basmati rice, and sugar of Reliance. And you won't imagine, you won't believe, we have sold more than 500,000 packs of rice. So that is the kind of success the scheme. So we supplied that, and Flipkart has done remarkably well in Fortune basmati rice. General trade also picked up a bit, and slowly we were able to push our brand Fortune. Over the years, Fortune as a food is started getting accepted and recognized. We were always known as an oil brand, but in the last 3-4 years, we have built it up, and you can also see from the communication that some amount of visibility of food is now available. So put to this. Now, when it comes to GST, I am happy to tell you, this is what we have been fighting for 5 years. We got this, and the industry where brand is recognized, we are all having an advantage. Honestly, 5% advantage in commodity or food is a big advantage in staples. So we are seeing slowly people who were getting that benefit are weeding out. I can see that more in atta than rice, honestly. Because in atta, I can see local players who were small players were having advantage over us is now slowly getting out. It's clear. That is why our flour business is also doing more than 25% branded atta player. So that is what it is.
Sure, sir. That's very helpful. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Any participant who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. Our next question is from the line of Gaurav Jogani from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you. So my first question is with regards to, you know, the reach of our edible oils. So if you can share how much is our total edible oil reach in terms of direct and indirect, and what kind of synergies do we enjoy from our food business with the edible oils business?
Direct coverage today is ranging of around 5.7 lakh outlets. We have a target to reach 6 lakh outlets direct coverage before 31st of March. Indirectly, we are reaching 1.6 million outlets across the country. South and West, obviously, we are a little weak, but very strong in North, East and Central. As far as the synergy is concerned, let me tell you, 45% of branded basin business comes from rural. For me, rural is 1 lakh and below. Any town we consider as rural. So 45% of basin sale comes from there. Around 20-22% basmati branded sale comes from there, and almost 12% of sugar sales comes from these markets. So there our distributors are common. They go with oil and food together. So I have an advantage over others. I don't think anybody can only send one product to a rural market of say 50,000 population town and then ask him to be a viable distributor. But when he goes with a basket of product, the retailer also is selling. The same retailer is selling all the products. So he gets advantage, not only buys oil, sometimes buys flour, sometimes suji, rawa. This time maida was hot cake before the festival. So all these branded products got entry into rural. Now when it comes to metro city, our distributors are separate. That I have done it because the volumes in Delhi, Bombay is much higher for food. So food distributor can concentrate more and bring volumes there, which we are taking advantage. But less than 5 lakh population town, all are common. And that common is helping me to become more stronger. The distributors are becoming stronger and volumes are increasing. Second, you know, somewhere atta is runner and oil follows. Sometimes oil is the runner and food follows. So it depends on the strength of the market and the strength of our competition. If a competition is weak, then I get advantage in those markets for food.
Sure, sir. Thanks for this. As for the other question, you know, it's with regards to, you know, a recent listed player has, you know, acquired Badshah Masalas very recently. And, you know, there have been a couple of more deals in the spices space particularly. So any thoughts from your end, if you are also actively looking into this space, given, you know, it's very synergistic to your overall food business. And, you know, what are your thoughts on the same?
Okay. We, Fortune and Adani Vilma is supposed to be there, everything where a kitchen needs. So from a lady's point of view, she needs spices, she needs sugar, she needs oil. So spices is surely one of the ingredients in which there is an opportunity, there is a scope. Dabur has taken Badshah, and we are not close to anything, honestly. Anytime a good opportunity comes, we will surely study. And we are not close to it, honestly. Anything that comes up, we can study. It's part of the kitchen, so we are open to it.
Sure. Okay. That's all from me, sir, for now.
Thank you. Anyone who has a question may enter star and one. The next question is from the line of Mihir Shah from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for taking my question. So if you can just jog our memory with respect to the realization per ton that we had seen in the past couple of years. I remember it was pretty much at a low level, and that when the edible oil prices started to shoot up, our realization per ton also shot up. And we've seen now that has moderated. So versus 2 years back, historical levels, what it was, how much it shot up, and where is it currently, if you can throw some light on that?
Mihir, in our business, we don't track too much on the realization per metric ton or realization per kg, because at the end of the day, for us, the metrics to look at is the EBITDA or a gross margin per kg or per liter basis. Because realizations more or less for us are the pass-through. In fact, last year we had seen a realization of sunflower in excess of 200 rupees a liter, whereas now it is anywhere between 170-175. So it has moderated to that level. Soya, which used to be at 180 rupees a kg or a liter, is now at 140-142 rupees a liter. So these are all market-driven, and therefore, if your question is coming from the perspective.
I mean gross margin. Apologies, sir. I mean gross margin per ton is what I was referring to.
Okay. No, so gross margins per ton, we would continue to deliver in a range of 10,500-11,000 rupees a ton. So this is what our target is, and we should be able to deliver that, and this is what we have been delivering for last couple of years. So that should be there, irrespective of whatever realization. And this culminates into a gross margin of 11%-12%, depending upon what kind of realization you are able to get. But 11,000-11,500 is something which we drive for in edible oil, and we are able to get that.
Understood. Very clear. And the even with the current oil outlook, if you throw some light on how is the edible oil price outlook, can one expect further moderation of edible oil prices, and then how will that impact our margin profile basically?
See, Mihir, interesting question and very difficult. I will tell you honestly. Few days back, who knew that the new Brazilian president is in favor of biodiesel? And the moment he came, he has said B14, B15. B14 means 1.5 million tons of oil will be sucked out of the system and will go to biodiesel. And 2.5 million tons will happen if it is B15 from January 23. Now tell me, few days back, people were saying the markets had gone up almost 20% so fast, it is likely to come back like what happened earlier. Today, the new Brazilian president says something, and he sucks out this extra from the market. Instead of being a net exporter, Brazil might become a net importer for soybean oil. So these are some of the things, the geopolitical part which happens, very difficult to predict how the market runs. But we understand one thing, we should not get into speculative mode or anything. We have a brand, we have to be steady. We are buying at whatever spot markets, we are bringing that stocks, we are keeping it hedged to the extent that is required, and then slowly build the volume across that. There are so many things that is happening. One is the exchange rate, then all of a sudden the Bosphorus pass, Black Sea, there is an issue, then again the issue is resolved, so it goes up, then it comes down. Sowing season is going on, so there is an issue. China COVID, whether they will consume less, we don't know. All these things are very interesting to watch and to continue. That is why we keep on looking at everyday event, but we continue to still sell daily. And India is different than anybody else. India is consuming well. Consumers are very confident here. And edible oil or staples, both rice, wheat flour, oil, even FMCG products, the consumption is very good in India. So India cannot be compared with these nations. Surely we are better off.
Understood, sir. Thank you for that. Lastly, on demand, I completely understand your point with respect to festive demand uptake and in upcoming strong wedding season and so on. But if you have to listen to the narrative of other consumer companies, some companies are also expecting good rural recovery. However, certain companies are saying rural is still under stress. Wanted to hear your thoughts on how should one look into the demand scenario, especially from rural. How is it shaping up from the your lens, sir?
We have always seen H1 to be lower than H2 for rural. H1 is summer, and the quarter two is normally the sowing season, July, August, September, where the farmer is very much interested in sowing and working in the field because he's unsure what will happen. Come October, the harvest season starts. This year it got little delayed, so that was a worry for all of us. But after that, after 10th, 15th of October, things have become normal. I just came back from Punjab and there's bounty crop. Basmati rice is around 6 to 8% higher crop. They are getting better price and the farmers are looking very happy. They are making more money than last year. But Punjab farmers cannot be compared with others. So Punjab rural is like an urban of any other city. So it looked very prosperous because I have been to small towns. But when it comes to by and large, the rural are happy. They are getting better money for soybean. They have got better money for paddy. And overall, the good money will come in their hands. So October, November onwards, when the festive season is there, marriage season is there, you will find there is uptake of demand. And rural should do better in H2 than H1. At least I am confident from staples point of view. Now, any other products, I am not very sure. But I think the basic staples will find a better way, particularly edible oils.
Got it, sir. Thank you very much. Very clear. That's all from my side.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Karan Bhuvania from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I just wanted to ask regarding the destocking at the distribution level that was highlighted in the presentation. Right, so there will be some impact because of the sudden fall in the prices. So do you think there will be... Has that normalized?
Sorry to interrupt. Mr. Bhuvania, if you're on a hands-free mode, can you switch to a handset and speak? Your audio is a bit muffled, sir.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Yeah. So I was just asking about the, you highlighted that there has been destocking at the distribution level due to sudden fall in the prices of edible oil, right? So has that, the stock levels at the distributor levels are normalized and what is the situation there?
Yes, your observation is right. This destocking happened when the prices were going down. Almost bone dry. It is 3 days inventory. Now, once the prices have started going up and festival season has started, I think they have started stocking very, very well. October sales, by and large, from the industry point of view, I am telling you, is 20% higher than September.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Gaurav Jogani from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, sir. Sir, in, like just a follow-up to the earlier participant's question, because of this continuous volatility in terms of the edible oil prices that we see, what is your sense in terms of the unorganized players? What happens to them in such a situation? And do we, gain some permanent market share from these guys? Anything on this would be really helpful.
See, as a bigger player and as a player where Wilmar is a partner and Wilmar operating in so many countries, including Ukraine, Russia, Argentina and Europe and other places, they have a very good insights of what is happening. If I can tell you that how much soybean oil will be sucked out of the system is only because Wilmar is studying the biodiesel and Wilmar is also in the biodiesel business and they produce a lot of biodiesel in Indonesia and Malaysia. So they understand the biodiesel market, and if they understand biodiesel, it has an impact on the edible oil market. So all in all, you know, there are team of people who work in Wilmar who are working all the commodities. Now, for a smaller player, such type of information might come to you after 24 hours or 36 hours, and that is the arbitrage that you can have, that how quickly you can decide what will happen. So Brazilian president coming, and he might favor biodiesel, can be 10 minutes or 15 minutes advantage is good enough, you know, to win this game. That is one. Two, stability of hedging risk, and hedging also is very important. As a commodity player, not everybody can hedge at CBOT exchange or at MDEX and all that, because India, there is nothing, no hedging tool. So internationally, you can hedge provided you have a credibility. So that is also helping us, because we are both Adani and Wilmar. So we get that advantage. So you will find consolidation happening going forward, and there is a stress that will you will see in the industry.
Sure, sir. So, sir, in this slide, you know, if you can hazard any guess, what kind of market share gains would you have seen over the past 1.5 years? And, you know, which are the key players that you will be competing with now?
See, we have seen market share gain, and more market share gain will come as we increase our direct distribution. We increase our penetration in South and West where we are weak. So surely we are working on it. That is one. As far as competition is concerned, direct competition is not there with anybody, because we are almost 7% higher than our next competitor. So there is big gap between us. The issue is always that each of these players are regional in nature. Whether you take somebody in South or in East, they are regional in nature, so you have to fight them regionally, and they have some advantages because of their reach or being local. That is one. As far as mustard is concerned, we are a clear major player. We have more than 12.5% share, and the next player is 6%. We are the largest player of mustard oil in the country, and there will be a lot of advantage once the GM mustard is also introduced. So we are expanding our capacities there in mustard. So mustard will be a new game in the next 3 to 5 years. We being the leader there, we have a lot of role to play.
Sure, sir. That's all from me, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. That was the last question for today. I now hand the floor back to the management of Adani Wilmar for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you all the participants for joining the call and listening to our quarterly numbers and the explanations which we offered. I hope it has been very useful for you all. Thank you very much and have a good day. Thanks.
Thank you all. I hope I have been able to give you my insights and my thoughts on how things are. And if anything more, obviously you can always get in touch with me. Thank you so much.
Thank you. On behalf of Axis Capital Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.